Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 36. Maitreya Uvacha Navai Mukundasya Padaravindayo Vajo Jushashtata Bhavadrishajana Panchanti Tadasyam Vatevatam Atmano Yadrachaya Labha Manas Samvidaya. The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, persons like you, who are pure devotees of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can offer liberation, and always attached to the honey of his lotus feet, are always satisfied in serving at the lotus feet of the Lord. In any condition of life, such persons remain satisfied, and thus they never ask the Lord for material prosperity." Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, my friends, greetings from Vrindavan, where Sarup City Bhakti direct devotional service is 24 hours a day, 24/7, as they say. It just goes on and on. The chanting, the kirtans, the classes, visiting holy places, the quality of people that is coming. I came here a little bit at the end of Karki, where it's particularly intense because there were some people coming. So the Ekadasi, that's 4 days before Kartika officially finishes. Amazing. 5 o'clock to six was Madhava's cure. 4 to 5, I gave class. I'm doing chapter 20, Anjali's Shikshastika prayers, and it's just wonderful to do that here. And then 5 to 6, Madhava doing incredible kirtan. 6 to 7:30, Gunadhari Maharaj. It's like a whole wonderful thing that goes on there. And then in the courtyard of Bibi Govinda Swami from 7:30 to 9. I just got back from giving an introductory lecture to 170 people of Russian descent, not necessarily devotees, but people interested in Krishna consciousness. Very, really a good class of people, I would say, myself. And hosting people, and there's the Govardhan retreat going on. I went to the 12-hour kirtan by the side of Govardhan Hill. And just a lot. The Iranian Vaishnavas are here, some of my favorite people. And it's Nasta Priyeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat. It's always service, service, Krishna, Krishna service. And then the classes here, and then occasionally I can have time to answer. Anyway, we'll just get into the wonderful story of Dhruva Maharaj, who shows the efficacy of determination in devotional service, especially since he had the apparent impediment of just being a young child. And when someone's a young child, you know, the lack of maturity is not condemned. So God didn't condemn his lack of maturity, that he was upset and hurt by his father and he wanted a kingdom greater. He just gave him the right advice according to his condition. Which is the right advice for everything, is to engage in devotional service. And Krishna saw the service and not the motive. And his service was intense. He was intensely engaged in chanting and hearing. Although there was a motive there, he was also engaged in chanting and hearing. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, and he attracted the mercy of the Lord by his intensity. And God fulfills the desire but gives himself. And himself is so much higher than any desire we can fulfill. You cannot compare spiritual pleasure to material pleasure. Even King Kulashekar, his famous prayers, where he said, you know, when I'm realizing Krishna consciousness, then I think formally of my sex life. I curl my lips in distaste. There's such a quality to divine love. There's such a quality to the energy emanating from the body of God in the form of his potencies of pleasure and cognition that enter the heart of someone who intensely wants to serve him. And a drop of that cannot be compared to anything in the world. So after getting that and getting Sakshar Darshan, then this sovereignty, this apex of material power, greater than his grandfather, Lord, I mean, it was what he got, the power and the opulence that he got. But when you compare it to love, it cannot compare. Even a mundane sense, if someone has everything but they don't have love, they don't have anything. And I've discussed this many times. I'm not going to discuss it again. But pleasure is the mind. Pleasure is the conscious. Happiness is the mind. Happiness is the consciousness. It's not things. Things only give pleasure in relationship to the mind. And if they satisfy ego, it's a disconnect from the soul, which is the real source of happiness. This is a theme that's repeated again and again, and the story of Dhruva Maharaj exemplifies this. He got everything he wanted, but he was pursuing the wrong thing. But the right thing is happiness, and happiness is more or less a spiritual phenomenon. The goal is happiness. Everything else has value in relationship to happiness. And material things that disconnect you from the soul, because they are fortifying the ego, which is the covering of the soul, which is the knot that funnels the consciousness of the soul to identify with a particular material body. And all its various upadis or designation, I am man, I am woman, I am guru, I am manager, I am American, I am this, whatever. And every one of those identifications brings us a step further from the soul and a step further from real happiness. Yoga means to attain a state where you can always live within the self. The self is consciousness. Intuition is love. And we feel it initially in terms of our gratitude, in terms of our compassion, in terms of our humility. So this is the realization of Dhruva Maharaj, and this is also what his story demonstrates. The main kind of startling fact, he got everything. And he realized he had nothing without God. And that will be our story. If we continue with our material ambitions divorced from its connection to spirituality. And the connection of material ambition to spirituality is to keep the mind and body together. To satisfy the mind and body for the purpose of meditation, for the purpose of devotion, for the purpose of the soul. So, this story is being narrated by the great sage Maitreya to Vidura. Again, that dialogue began in the third canto, the beginning of the third canto. And after this story is told, and after we see Dhruva's lamentation, he even thinks that somehow he was tricked by the demigods. How can I be so foolish? You know, I'm being offered diamonds and I'm seeking broken glass compared to the jewel of Krishna consciousness. See, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati, the jewel of feeling one's relationship with Krishna. Compared with that, all material opulence is like just cheap trinkets, basically. Really is. There's no juice. It's just a mental conception. There's an expectation or aspiration of pleasure that never reaches fulfillment when you get there. So Dhruva Maharaj was lamenting and he felt very foolish. And therefore, Maitreya now, who's narrating this dialogue and just narrating the discussion between Narada and Dhruva, now he turns to Vidura, who's hearing and who's a pure devotee, and describes a similar point in terms of the life and example of Vidura. The example, how he's always absorbed in the honey of his lotus feet, attached. The honey of his lotus feet, a beautiful analogy. Lotus feet means service. The honey of service. The honey of devotion. Humble devotion. There's such a taste of that. Even though we're conditioned to enjoy, there's really such a taste, a higher taste. And it's satisfying. Vayam natu vichiptatma uttama shloka vartate yachindatam rahata ganam. We never become satiated. Vayam, we. the two Bichipyama, Uttama Shloka Vartate, by talking about and chanting about the divine, it's Shinvatam, Vasagana. And when you listen to this Rasagana, this knowledge of devotion, then you're satisfied. And you never ask the Lord for material prosperity as Dhruva did. Now we'll read the purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything, and anything within this creation, and the supreme friend of everyone. When one knows he's perfect, he is always satisfied. Basically, when you accept your own position, and to accept your own position, you have to accept God's position as the enjoyer and controller. And when you accept that, you will accept your position as his servant. You will become the fish within water. Because that is our dharma. That is our essence. That is our constitution. And therefore, moving in that direction is harmonious. This harmony and suffering is only a symptom of going against nature. So you're completely going according to your nature by recognizing God as the Angi, the possessor of parts, and we are Anga, the part of that possessor of parts. When you get this basic conception, when you get this basic conception clear, then you act in cognizant of that reality. Prabhupada said, when you see the sun, you see yourself. One time, Prabhupada was asked, what is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita? I'm sure he gave many answers, but at least one time, I heard this from Brahmananda Prabhu. He gave the answer, Janma Karma Chine Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha Tatvadeham Puna Janma Naiti Mama Tisadana. Janma Karma Chine Divyam. When you understand the truth that Krishna, his birth, his activities are transcendental, Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha, when you know reality, Tatvadeham Puna Janma, then you're liberated from this world. The pure devotee never hankers after any kind of material prosperity because he's completely satisfied. Vishyavini vartante niraharasya dayana viso rajam viso pithya param drishva. When you have param drishva, you have a higher taste. Then you don't hanker for things that are less. And therefore, the devotee never hankers after material prosperity. It really doesn't mean much to him. It does not enhance his happiness. In fact, it can distract one's happiness, and therefore, it can distract one from one's duty. And therefore, very often, Krishna's mercy is that he takes away the devotee's material prosperity. Atyahara Chahara Prayasascha. One of the great impediments from bhakti is atyahara, too much attachment, too many things. Because the nature is, when we get more, our attachments increase. And therefore, we're at the same level of dissatisfaction as we were when we had less. I was just thinking now, after so many years, I've been blessed with a beautiful apartment. I can't describe how wonderful it is. But I also see the drawback. Now I am attached to a higher standard of living. And therefore, there's susceptibility to fear of losing it and lamentation when you do. And I reflect on that. Beyond our necessities according to our nature, everything more we get just conditions us to a greater need. So you're basically always in the same condition. Bhakti is all about getting the right priorities. And the best way to get the right priorities is to have some kind of experience of what they are. Opportunities to go on retreats and different activities where you can concentrate on bhakti and get the realization of its taste. Practice entails four things. You have to concentrate over a prolonged period of time without any interruption in the right mood. And when you do that, you will be able to experience the object of meditation, which in terms of bhakti, it's mantra of God. You will feel God. And feel for God. The karmis, gyanis, and yogis, however, endeavor always for their own personal happiness. Karmis work day and night to improve their economic condition. Gyanis undergo severe austerities in order to get liberation. And yogis also undergo severe austerities by practicing the yoga system for attainment of wonderful mystic powers. A devotee, however, is not interested in such activities. He does not want mystic powers or liberation or material prosperity. He's satisfied in any condition of life as long as he's constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. There's that wonderful prayer from Dhritarashtra. Narayana prasarve nakutas chanya bibhyati swaga pavaga narakeshu apitu yati darshanam. That one who loves God, then it doesn't matter where he is. It doesn't matter what his destiny is. Because everything, every part of your life, every place that you are destined to go, is just another opportunity to serve. And that's what your happiness is. Not the product, but the process. Not the product, but the process of service. Of course, we're conditioned in ways and people do suffer horribly, etc. I'm not acknowledging that. But still, as one becomes more and more Krishna conscious, one becomes less and less dependent on the external circumstances. And one moves not according to one's own agenda, but according to the will of Krishna, which is manifest in the gurus and the Vaishnavas. And the will of Krishna will not conform to our desire to control and enjoy. He is satisfied in any condition as long as he is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The Lord's feet are compared to the lotus where there is saffron dust. The devotee is always engaged in drinking the honey from the lotus feet of the Lord. And that honey, again, is service. That's the taste. Because service is the taste of consciousness. Everything else is the taste of things. So a devotee is always looking for service. And it's amazing to watch the lives, even of our contemporary devotees, even of my godbrothers, whose attachment is service. And it moves them in ways and places and situations that don't necessarily conform to what their own personal desires according to the modes they get. But they're detached. And that's what detachment means. Detachment means, ultimately, detachment means to be satisfied with God's will. A real detached person, he's just satisfied with God's will. Because that's his faith, that's his experience. Unless one is freed from all material desires, he cannot actually taste the honey from the Lord's lotus feet. Until you come to Nishtha, until you become fixed in service and the desire for service, you won't experience ruchi. As much as water that is mixed with, to the extent that water is mixed with other chemicals and minerals and things, is the extent that you can't taste it. When water is water, when water becomes fixed, when water becomes purified, when water is just water, then rapsaham apsokantiya. Then Krishna says, I am the taste of water. But as long as it's mixed, then the water loses its taste. And it's the same thing with devotional service. To the extent that your service is mixed with your material desires, is the extent that you won't get a taste from service. One has to discharge his devotional duties without being disturbed by the coming and going in material circumstances. Once your objective becomes service, then you are less affected by the various goings and comings of material circumstance. You go beyond duality in the sense that everything is an equal opportunity to serve. And one has that desire to serve, it can't be impeded. And I think of the great Vaishnav, my godbrother, Vibhu Chaitanya, who was the cook, and then he got too old to be the cook, and then he handed out the Charanamrita. And everything, every activity he did, even though the activities changed, was done with the same devotion. And then when he couldn't move from his bed, he had shelves next to him with the pictures of Radha Shyam Sundar and people would bring the old deity garlands, and he would decorate the altar. So he discharged his devotional duties without being disturbed by the coming and going of material circumstances, which will always change. This desireless for material prosperity is called nishkama. One should not mistakenly think that nishkama means giving up all desires. That is impossible. A living entity is eternally existent, and he cannot give up desires. A living entity must have desires. That is a symptom of life. So that is a basic misconception, that desire means selfishness. We have desire. We have something that we want. But when we want to serve, it's not selfish. When there is a recommendation to become desireless, it is to be understood that this means we should not desire anything for our sense gratification. You can desire that someone else becomes pleased. You can desire so intensely that you may sacrifice your own agenda and your own enjoyment. So that's niskam, that's desireless. For a devotee, this state of mind, nispriha, is the right position. Every one of us already has an arrangement for our standard of material comforts. The devotee should be remain satisfied with the standard of comforts offered by the Lord as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, tena chaktena bhunjita. This saves time for executing Krishna consciousness. So interesting point. Prabhupada's not saying renunciation of things. He just said you should remain satisfied with what is offered by the Lord. And if you do that, it saves time for Krishna consciousness. Okay, you know, again, I have to say, I'm still getting used to the class, which would be late night to me. But if anybody wants to ask a question, they can. Or if anybody would like to say hello, please do.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Vogel.
Yeah, my question is, you know, if we want a taste for devotional service, it should be, you know, done, like you said, uninterrupted, long period of time, in the proper mood. So I do have an idea, but can you just describe that mood?
Well, you chant 16 rounds a day. And you do it without break, or you do it in four sessions of four rounds without break. You try to control your mind. You on the clearing stage, you know, your mind wanders, you bring it back. And, yeah, like that. Like that. That's what it would be like. Prolonged would be, what, for 2 hours. Without breaks in between for, you know, checking email or doing something else. And trying to concentrate. And when we do that, taste comes. Taste comes because, again, perception is based on attention. And unless we're attentive to God, we won't experience God. And if we don't experience God, then our spiritual practices will be tedious. So that's one example.
Yeah, I was actually specifically asking to describe, because that third component was the mood in which to perform our practice.
Oh, I think that's described in with great respect. That this is a great thing, like the respect you have for dealing or treating something that has great value and great worth, that kind of mood, that how important this is and how merciful God is to give us the holy name. So that kind of mood.
Yeah, I was also
some
thinking,
kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I was also thinking that it should be done with a kind of, absence of pride, meaning, dependence, realizing that you cannot do it, you cannot attain it without pure grace.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that I think in one sense that goes without saying, but the generic concept, then it can be more specific, is just understanding its value.
Mm-hmm.
And then understanding its value, obviously you're utilizing for Krishna's service. Okay, Gail, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here. Looking forward to seeing you this week.
Tota Gopinath, when are you coming? What are the dates?
We arrive late Friday night, so then we'll be there from the 17th. But it'll be late on the 17th, and then to the we leave the 26th.
Okay, probably I'll be in Govardhan from the 17th to the 22nd, and then be back the 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. So I guess I'll see you one day in Govardhan. I'll also come back.
Yeah.
I think I come back on, yeah. So anyway, I'll be here half of the time you're here, and you'll come out to Govardhan. But it's wonderful here.
Sure, absolutely.
Gopinath, you know that. It gets even better every
can't
year.
Can't wait.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Okay, see you soon.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare anybody Bo. Else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, I heard Shadhanjali. And
Hare Bo.
Who else is there? Who?
Priya.
Who is that?
Priya.
Oh, Priya. Hare Krishna. Good. Yeah, Priya. We'll see you not too soon in Puri. That's nice. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Chaitanya Priya.
Thank you. Thank you. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kishori.
All right, Bo. We'll see you soon. A few more people and then I'll hang up. Who else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vajrade.
Vajrade, okay. Okay, one more person, who else? Okay, I'm going to hang up now because I got to get to bed. Hare Krishna.